Well, I want to speak to you tonight about what I call covered by Christ. You know, not many of us relish having to sit down and talk about insurance with an agent or otherwise. Not only do most of us enter into a world of terms which are unfamiliar, but it can be boring. It can make you wonder, hey, am I being taken advantage of? Are they trying to sell me something I really don't need? But you're also faced with the prospect of scenarios you'd rather not think about. Car accident. A physical injury of some kind. Or even worse, death. On the other hand, there is a comfort in the knowledge that you are prepared and ready for whatever might befall you. And that things are taken care of. As best as we humans can do that. In our current crisis, perhaps you've seen lately in the news where our president has admitted that in the past week and a half or so, he's taken the drug hydroxychloroquine for protection, to ensure he's protected from the virus. In medicine, this is called a prophylactic measure. Prophylactic comes from the Greek meaning advance guard. So it means a preventative measure to ensure or protect oneself from disease or any unwanted consequence. And what I thought about was the prophylactic we have through Christ. We're covered through Christ. And I'm not just talking about covered by the blood of the Lamb. It's more than that even. Though that is the ultimate covering that we have. There's a verse that John writes in his small book at the end of the Bible, 1 John. It's in chapter 2. And in verse 1, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So in one sense, we have a covering or prophylactic, and that he's like our advocate, our defense attorney, whenever we sin as a believer. And Satan, we're told in the book of Revelation, accuses us night and day before the throne of God. Jesus Christ stands up and says, no, Father, they're covered. They're covered by the blood. My blood on Calvary's cross. But listen carefully to verse 2, the verse that follows this. 1 John 2 and verse 2 says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation there, what it means in the language, the Greek language that it was first written in, is a covering. A covering. And so Jesus Christ is the covering for our sins, the protection from the very wrath of God, as God cannot overlook one single sin. We try to. We think we can at times, but God is holy. He's of purer eyes than to behold evil, the book of Habakkuk tells us. And as the blood was sprinkled on the altar in the Old Testament days, and before that, on that first Passover night before Israel moved out of Egypt in the great Exodus, and they sprinkled the blood outside the doors, and on the doors of each home that truly believed, they were protected because the blood was applied. And when you got saved, his blood shed on Calvary's cross, that act and what was done 2,000 years ago applied at that moment of your conversion to your sinful soul. And so once you accepted that sacrifice at Calvary for you, you, my friend, were covered. That's great, isn't it? Rest assured, Christian, once you have truly accepted Christ, you are from there on out protected, covered by the blood of the Lamb. It is finished, Jesus said on the cross. A one and done act, good for all time, for those who have accepted his gracious gift of protection. So for that, we should all of us be eternally grateful and ever restful, at peace, knowing that your sins are blotted out. You know, Paul wrote about that to the Colossian believers in Colossians 2:14. Listen to this verse. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. You know, in Bible times, debtors would have to go to prison as well as common criminals. They would have to go to prison and they could not be released until the debts were paid. Just like today, someone is put in for burglary, robbery, some other offense, they're put in there and the judge hands down a sentence and they can't leave until that time is up. They've paid the sentence, the full price demanded. Well, in Bible times, if you were placed in jail simply for having debts and you hadn't paid those, there would often be a placard, something placed there near you where you were incarcerated. And let's say someone came into the jail and said, you know what, I want to pay for this man's debts. Here's $100. And once that was paid, the debt was satisfied, the person was free to go. You're free to go to heaven because those ordinances, those laws, those sins that you committed, and because God said they were sins, that's God's law, you were guilty. But the blood of Christ has taken that all away. So at the moment of your salvation, that's when we first experienced the prophylactic, the covering of Christ. But it continues through the movement of your salvation in this life and, of course, till the next. And I don't know if you heard Ravi Zacharias, one of the greatest apologists in hundreds of years, passed away this week. Now he's seeing God face to face. The movement of his salvation has come to a full stop, and he's enjoying eternity and seeing Christ face to face. One day we all will because of what started at the cross for us. Well, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's verse 11. Anybody who's been saved a while knows that if you try to live for Christ, you're in for a battle. It's a tussle. And it's a tussle you cannot win in and of yourself. And that's something we've got to understand. And those of us that are perhaps a little bit more independent might struggle in some senses in this way until we get it right and realize that I can't do this on my own. I need to be strong in the Lord. See, you still have your sinful nature, and that's a powerful force within you. You still live in a sinful world. That is a powerful force around you. Yet, you do have protection. And Paul calls this the armor of God. But how often do you amble through life, have a pretty good day, and then boom, you slip up. You say something you shouldn't have said. You think something you shouldn't have thought. You dwell on looking at something too long. You get embittered. You think the wrong before you think the best of somebody. You know, whatever the sin might be that tends to dominate your thinking in your soul. How often do you amble through life, your Christian life, and you passively take life's blows, or on the flip side, you actively decide to not even fight the good fight? It's just too difficult. I don't want to engage because I want to choose what's pleasing, what feels good. I want to do my way. And we make these decisions or not, and when God has given you ample protection for the battle each day, if we don't take him up on that, we're going to be frustrated and miserable. We're going to miss out on the great adventures that God wants to take us through. So we're commanded in verse 10 to be strong in the Lord. And what that tells me is he's not telling you to simply, in your own strength or sheer willpower, try to live the Christian life. Try to be good. We're to be strong, the Bible says, in the Lord. Now, this is fascinating. How Paul wrote this, how God wrote this through the pen of Paul, it's a present imperative. The present normally in the Greek stresses continuous action. The imperative is a command. But here it's in what we call the passive voice, meaning it's not you that has some secret inner strength or fortitude that's going to win the battle. Because the fact is, we are all too weak for this fight in and of ourselves. What he means, rather, is we are to constantly be yielded to him. It's consistent with the chapter previous to this in the book of Ephesians 5 and verse 18, where he says, and it's another command, it's a present, passive, imperative. It's a command, be filled with the Spirit. You can't just decide to be filled with the Spirit and have and gather that power in and of yourself. No. It's not of us. He is in us, though. We are to allow him to continually control us, is the idea here. Just like we are to continually, each and every day, allow God to be our guide and to be our protector, to be our strength. When you know what God wants you to do, and you think to yourself, I know what he wants me to do, but it's just too difficult. I don't see myself doing that. Let's take witnessing. That's a toughie for a lot of Christians. I know I should talk to this person, but I'm scared. I'm afraid. You're in a good place because the apostles were also. But they didn't just, because they were fearful, stop. When the children of Israel were poised to go into the promised land and they sent in a team to do a little reconnaissance, they came back and said, it's just as God told us, there's giants in the land, so let's not go. They were scared. Where Caleb was led by God. He was strong in the Lord. And Caleb said, you know, with God, we're able to do this. Let's go. So what we need to do, as far as witnessing is concerned, we just need to say, God, I'm scared. You know I'm scared. I'm asking you for boldness. Be strong in the Lord. So if you know what God wants you to do, don't resist it. Don't make excuses. Obey it. And ask God for the strength to go through and do what you want. He's called you to do. You know, what also strengthens you is reading your Bible daily, fortifying your mind with truth, with holy words, communing with God in prayer, being faithful in attendance at your church, confessing sin, because sin will put a weakening, dampening effect in your Christian life. It'll diminish your passion and power for Christ. So make sure you're constantly confessing your sin. And you do have the protection needed for any battle that may come. God calls it armor in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Because that armor is going to enable you to be victorious against what? He says in verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles looks like our English word methods. And he has his methods, doesn't he? Temptation, bitterness, fear, worry, pride. That's a big one. Pride. All kinds of methods that he knows just what buttons to push with you. But if you put on the whole armor of God, if you do that, God's going to strengthen you. So just believe him. You know, just believe God's word and put on truth, the breastplate of righteousness and faith that's going to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Just believe in God. That shield of faith is what we need. And so we're told not to put on some of the armor of God, but all the whole armor of God. Are you doing that each and every day? How are things going lately? Feel like it's been a battle and you're on the short end of the stick or without a stick? Maybe your sheer willpower isn't kicking it. It won't. You need the Savior's power. And as to being saved, it's great if you are, but what about those around you whom God has in your sphere of influence? Don't they need a covering also? You can be praying for their salvation. You can be speaking to them when you get opportunity. You know, I was talking to my mother just last evening. She said, hey, I want to tell you something. A relative of ours called me and said, a woman was talking to me and she got saved. And as this man began to explain this to my mom already knew about the story because I had told her. And she goes, oh yeah, he's been talking to her and she accepted Christ. Yeah. So often, and he ended with this. He said, well, that's one person I can check off that I've been praying for to be saved for years. Well, you know what? A lot of times we're praying and praying and praying for a family member, a relative to be saved. But maybe we need to stop praying and start speaking. Stop speaking to God, start speaking to them. Maybe God puts us in that position. So often we're too intimidated. We try in our own strength. And again, we need to ask for boldness from Him. And if you grow and grow and grow in Him, you'll find that you can't help but talk about Him to those around you. John also wrote that a perfect love casts out fear. So the fear that we have is cast out by our growing, maturing love in Christ. Christian, it's great that you have Christ as your protector, a sure defense against the wiles of Satan, the wickedness of this world, and the sin nature that would still torture and, yes, ruin your very life. But thankfully, you have a covering in Christ. You can put on His armor, and you can win the war. Go out and do it now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so very much for the protection that we have in You. Help us, Lord, to go forth boldly in Your strength, in Jesus' name. Amen.